picture? You laughing now?
He's not a monster. He's a great guy who worked for us for many, many years.
Cut him off.
You ought to be grateful I can still afford to pay your salary.
Check out the big brain on Brad.
I'll send you a nice box of Christmas meat. Best I can do. Get out of here.
And you can do anything, right?
It's Friday, it's movies, and the winner is Rafer Guzman, film critic for Newsday. Rafer.
Thank you. I'd like to thank the Academy.
That's right. Very good. So we've got the Academy weekend coming up. We've got a couple of movie releases. Eddie the Eagle. Let's listen to a clip here. I'd never heard of Eddie the Eagle. It's an interesting story, and listen.
So is this the bit where you say, I told you so?
No. This is where I say that without the booze, I wouldn't even have the guts to do that, John. As your coach, I think you're crazy.
I don't know what I was thinking.
But as your friend, I say you gotta do it. This is your moment.
I need a practice jump.
What do you need to know you don't know already? It's higher than you jumped before. You're gonna go faster than you've ever gone before. You're gonna fly farther than your tiny little brain can handle, but it's just a jump. Yeah, simple.
1988 Olympics, Winter
That's right.
Olympics. I should know this, but I don't.
Well, he was Eddie the Eagle, played by Taron Egerton there. He was a British ski jumper, became the only guy to represent his country there in the ski jumping. And basically, he was a no-hoper, self-funded, self-trained, and wound up setting a not very impressive record, but a record nevertheless at the Winter Olympics. And this movie is a very lighthearted, fluffy, kind of feel-good kind of Billy Elliot style movie. It hits every nail on the head, and I have to say it's really charming and really fun. Taron Egerton is great as Eddie the Eagle, and that's Hugh Jackman you're hearing there as his coach, who is, by the way, fictional, a completely fictional character
they made
up for the movie, but he's still a lot of fun because, you know, Hugh Jackman is always great.
Well, if you're going to have a fictional coach, it should be Hugh Jackman.
Exactly. Yes. He almost makes him seem real.
999, what's the premise here?
Good question. It's about a bunch of crooked cops and some criminals who are kind of in thrall to the Russian-Israeli-Jewish mob. They have to pull off a nearly impossible heist of breaking into a homeland security compound if one of them wants to see his son again. And the way they're going to do this is by killing another officer and bringing all the cops to that scene while they go off and pull their heist.
Impenetrable, but with some very familiar names in the cast.
It's an amazing cast. Chiwetel Ejiofor, Kate Winslet plays the villain. She's actually quite good. Casey Affleck, Woody Harrelson, the list goes on.
How's your job going?
You know, spend my time trying to make a difference.
You're gonna make a difference.
You ain't gonna make a difference.
Your job, out monster the monster and get home at the end of the night.
Does this add anything to the genre?
Well, not really. I think what this film has, and I'm hoping it's accidental, is the problem is that people who would get together and pull a heist and kill a fellow officer in order to pull that heist off don't, to me, seem like the heroes of a film. And so it's very difficult for me to care whether that heist goes off because the entire time I think, you know, I think your kid would be better off without you. So I don't really care what happens to any of the people in this film, and I'm not sure why the filmmakers thought we would.
Although you said the guys in The Big Short weren't sympathetic, and I loved that movie.
And you love that movie.
I love that movie.
All right, let's test your morality and go see this one, John.
So Christianity is over. We've moved on to Egypt now in Hollywood, Gods of Egypt.
That's right. You've got Gerard Butler as a god named Set. He wants to take over all of Egypt. There's a mortal named Beck who's going to team up with the god Horus, and they're going to try to battle him and see if they can keep him from turning the world into darkness.
Will Egyptologists grimace at this movie, or is it authentic in any way?
I don't think it's authentic in any way, especially when you hear Gerard Butler's vague Scottish burr as the Egyptian god.
Of course.
What do you want?
Immortality.
Immortality awaits us all in the afterlife.
I don't want to die. I want to live forever.
Where are they going to put all of those British speakers in the afterlife?
That's Jeffrey Rush there as the sun god Ra. I wish you could see him because he delivers every line with flames sprouting out of his skull. This movie is fun in parts, but not enough of a campy treat to recommend.
Well, not a bad weekend of offerings leading up to the Oscars on Sunday night. You've got Eddie the Eagle, 999, and Gods of Egypt. What about Deadpool? though. I mean, R-rated movie,
R-rated superhero
$135 million on the first weekend.
It was an unexpected smash hit, and you know, I don't think anyone saw this coming. I despised the film. I loathed it. I thought it was a self-satisfied, offensive, snarky, childish little movie that was trying to mock the superhero genre and get you to sort of mock it with it.
And your point is?
I just
I mean,
I was really surprised at how well this film did. I don't think anyone thought it was going to do so well.
Is it an outlier, or is there something about the sort of, shall we say, sexual improvisations of the Deadpool character that lead us to a new world here? Is there something...
You know, I don't know. I mean, I've got two kids, and what I'm always looking for are superhero movies that I can take them to. They're 7 and 5, and 8 and 5, excuse me. And, I'd like to take them to see, let's say, Ant-Man, Iron Man, things like this. You certainly can't take them to see Deadpool.
Although Iron Man sets us up for R ratings in the superhero genre, it seems like. It seems like they're hinting at we could go farther with this.
Because they're a little suggestive, yeah. a little racy.
Well, Gwyneth.
Gwyneth,
the
right.
First scene in the first Iron Man, the bedroom scene, as I recall.
That's right. So, you know, that's not exactly kid stuff. I'm not quite so sure why the superhero genre feels like it needs to go into the R rating and be an adult film genre, really. I've always found them much more enjoyable as sort of a kid tween kind of genre. I mean, that's just me. I hate to think of, Superman going R-rated. I hate to think of Wonder Woman going R-rated.
Well,
I can only
think of 135 million reasons why it would want to go
in that
direction. What will you be doing when you're watching the Oscars this weekend?
I will be at the office in front of a computer. I'll have a television on one side, my keyboard in front of me, an editor yelling at me over the phone, and that'll be my Oscar night.
Well, here's a note from your audience. Adam from Michigan says, personally, I would still hope that Michael Keaton would be nominated and rewarded for his performance in Birdman last year, and the fact that he wasn't nominated for Spotlight this year makes me feel there is a conspiracy going against Michael Keaton. You would go along with that, I bet.
There is some hope. He's starring in a movie called The Founder, where he plays the founder of McDonald's, Ray Kroc. I have high Oscar hopes for that.
Charlotte, North Carolina, the movie Spotlight should win because it tells the truth about a situation most people didn't believe existed. I saw that last weekend. Absolutely amazing. Weigh in with your picks. Number is 8778 My Take, and there's much more at takeaway.org. Have a great weekend, Rafer.
Thanks. You too, John.
Rafer Guzman, film critic for Newsday and for The Takeaway.
Support for The Takeaway comes from Staples, offering tech services for small business owners like PC setup and repair. More at staples.com/tech services. Staples, make more happen.